You're listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends, the number one source for travel news, reviews, and in-depth travel journalism. Broadcasting live from Florida's Suncoast on WTMY Sunday Travel Radio. Don't forget, you can listen to us online 24/7 at ttrn.com. And now, here's our host, the travel guy, Roy Lowy.
Thank you, Greg.
You're listening to Talking Travel and WTMY, beautiful downtown Sarasota. And my next guest is travel journalist Mr. Bob Fisher and president of Travelosophy.com. And today we're going to take a little step aside and maybe go through the best of 2008 with Bob. Hi, Bob.
How you doing, Ray?
Doing terrific. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. One of the places you went in 2008 was Cairo, and in on your website in Travelosophy, you call it a singular state of mind. Why don't you explain that a little for our audience?
Well, so many destinations are not simply physical places, and Cairo is a state of mind, and as a matter of fact, it messes with your mind. Anyone who's been there knows what I'm talking about. I mean, it's confusing, disorienting, polluted, it's overwhelming, it's raucous, but it's also an intense and strenuous and really an unpredictable place. So you never really know in terms of when you visit Cairo, you never know what's going to happen there. You never know what you're going to encounter. And that's why your mind is always trying to stay sort of two steps ahead of the cops, if you know what I mean.
But you also say that as Egypt's largest city and Africa's most populous, I find that hard to believe, a city of 25 million people.
You know. And I was in Cairo 27 years ago, and this city has grown to an enormous size. And it's somewhat as Dickens said, it's the best of times, it's the worst of times. The people that go there are going to experience culture shock if they have not been, in large cities like Hong Kong and Mumbai, for example.
Right.
But it is an enormous city within which you have, I call it hypersensory travel. You really have a complete physical, emotional, conceptual, and aesthetic and cultural experience. It's the whole ball of wax. It's a tough visit, if you like, but there is nothing like having been to Cairo and come home to tell the story about it.
The traffic I found was incredible in Cairo, and a little bit scary the way people, you know, you get in the roundabouts there was really scary. But as you say, it's a beautiful city. Having a dinner in one of those restaurants along the river is just absolutely spectacular.
Well, the Nile, too. I mean, the Nile is really human history. And it runs, you know, you're sitting next to the Nile and you're saying, okay, this really is the river of life of human civilization, the Nile Valley where, and of course the pharaohs and the pyramids and all that sort of thing, but this is where the first granaries were. This is where civilization, where we began becoming agricultural people. And in that sense, it's magnificent. But if I can, I'd like to mention to your listeners a particular attraction in Cairo that a lot of people don't get to see, and it is the Egyptian Museum. And this is a wonderful neoclassical design museum that is an Egyptologist's dream. And if anyone who loves art, and no matter what kind of art you're into, pharaonic statues, painting, portraiture, etc., this is an amazing museum. And it's, surprisingly, it's on the other side of the Nile and within walking distance of the major hotels like the Nile Hilton. And so you can walk to it easily if you cross the street carefully. But it's also an oasis within Cairo itself. And I can't recommend this museum enough.
The building itself is astonishing.
Yes, it is. And the whole area, it's really a cultural visit in itself. And when I was there, and there is an exhibit in the museum of Egyptian women. Rather ironic in some way, because since my last visit over 25 years ago, most of the women in Cairo were not wearing the hijab. Today, most women are wearing the hijab. But the hijab has become a symbol of their identity as Muslims, as women. And it's really quite amazing because every hijab is different. Every hijab is colorful and really quite beautiful. And it's a statement of, believe it or not, it's a statement of, you know, this is who I am as an Egyptian woman. And when you go to the museum, you will see some amazing portraits of Egyptian women over a period of time in Egypt. It's absolutely amazing.
Well, give us a travel tip or two, if you will, Bob, for somebody that's thinking about making reservations or thinking of planning a trip to Cairo.
Well, I highly recommend what we did, which was we hired a local guide through the Internet. And if you go to this article on Travelocity's website, it's called Cairo, A Singular State of Mind. There is a link there to the travel and tourism operator. This is, I highly recommend it because, first of all, it's very safe. Secondly, you will get to see things that you simply will not get to see if you're on a tour with 30 other people. And it's very affordable. For a little over $100 a day plus tips, we got a driver in a very nice car and a guide who was highly trained. And we got to some of the historic sites within Cairo that you simply cannot get to if you're in a large group. I would recommend that people not have any reservations about using this particular travel and tourism supplier in particular, but using a local guide, in my opinion, and it may be because I'm a travel journalist and I'm used to doing this, but it really brings you up close and personal at a really grassroots level. And I'll just mention one other thing, too. The fact that Diana and I were walking around with our guide, an Egyptian guide, we were never, ever hassled. We were never approached by hawkers because they knew that we were there with a local person.
Yeah, so exactly. And I found that very true as well. I think it's great advice. Now, let's talk about another destination and looking over some of the places that you've been in 2008. What about Kamloops, British Columbia?
Thank you very much. Kamloops, British Columbia, just down the road from the center of the universe. That's the name of the article.
Right.
And again, I recommend people have a look at this. Kamloops, British Columbia. First of all, British Columbia, you know, is incredibly beautiful. It is our mountainous province in Western Canada. Kamloops itself is... It's one of those destinations, Roy, that you know, initially don't get new respect, don't get no respect, to quote, what's his name, the comedian?
Rodney Dangerfield.
Rodney Dangerfield. And yet, this is one of the most integrated environments you can possibly find. There's absolutely everything here for someone who loves beautiful scenery, who loves history, who loves Aboriginal experiences. Now, the story of the center of the universe is really interesting because there's a group of Tibetan monks in San Francisco who believe that the center of the universe actually is a physical location. Well, lo and behold, one day, I think it was about 1984, somebody showed up at Lou Wilman's door, knocked on the door and said, hello, you know, I'm a Tibetan monk from San Francisco, and I've come to the center of the universe. And ever since that time, Tibetan monks have been making the trek to Kamloops, British Columbia. And they've done this whole purification ceremony, and it's just an amazing part of the story. When I was there, too, I got to do some once-in-a-lifetime things. For example, one of our biggest sports heroes in Canada is a woman by the name of Nancy Green, gold and silver Olympic medalist winner, World Cup champion for many years. She's only a couple of years older than me, so, you know, that's relatively young. And I got to ski with Nancy Green for half a day. And you'll see the video up on the site. The woman is amazing. She has recently been appointed to the Senate of Canada, which is our upper chamber in the Canadian Parliament. And she was named Canada's Woman of the century being the 20th century. But this is an area, too, that has, you know, if you're into skiing, if you're into hiking, if you're into grasslands, if you're into agritourism, and cowboy country, this is cowboy country. It's one of the best destinations that I've had the opportunity, one of the best destinations in North America that I've had the opportunity of visiting in 2008.
And for our listeners, how would they get there?
Very accessible, very easy to get to. You either go through Calgary or you go through Vancouver. Kamloops is right on the Trans-Canada Highway as well. One of their biggest markets actually is Seattle, Washington. Especially for skiers and hikers and on all that sort of thing. But it's right smack dab in the middle of the interior of British Columbia. So you can't miss it. Just kind of head north and you know, watch out for a bunch of Tibetan monks.
Well, we'll certainly keep our eyes open for those. Let's kind of skip down your list a little, and why don't we have a look at the article you did with climate change and travel and tourism. You call the St. Moritz Sustainable Model.
Well, this was an amazing experience, too. As you know, I am a member of the World Federation of Journalists and Travel Writers. The acronym is FIJET, F-I-J-E-T, and this is an amazing organization that has links to the United Nations World Tourism Organization. And we had our annual congress in Slovenia, a wonderful emerging destination. And the focus of our congress in 2008 was on climate change. One of the speakers was Dr. Hans Dunzer, who is the managing director of St. Moritz, the top of the world in Switzerland. And St. Moritz, of course, has been one of the major European destinations for a long, long time. But what people don't know about Silhouettes is it's also been one of the most environmentally friendly, one of the most ecologically tuned in destinations in Europe, partially because it had to be. Switzerland is a small country, unless you think vertically. If you think vertically, Switzerland is an enormous country. Silhouettes itself as a unique destination is also a destination, though, that is very resource-oriented, because that's why it became what it is. And Dr. Danhauser, who is a virtuoso, and by the way, and there's a photograph on this article, it's called Climate Change and Travel Tourism, the Samarit Sustainable Model. You'll see him playing an alp horn, and he played the alp horn for us. And this is a man in his late 70s, I would say. So he's a virtuoso in many respects. But you know, this whole thing of sustainable tourism, green tourism, responsible tourism, there really is no better model than Samarit's, and it's been that way for a long time.
Well, you go on to mention that his brand is as fresh as it was 1,700 years ago.
Absolutely. And the reason why I think this story is important for anyone who's in the travel and tourism industry as well is because it's all about branding. How do you brand? But how do you be truthful? How do you stay faithful to the location?
Right.
How do you engage in smart growth? Well, as I've, you know, they've been doing it for a long, long time.
Now, you've just returned from Mexico, so maybe we can wind down the show with a little of 2009. You went to Cancun, I believe.
Yes, we were in. Now, I'm also, and if I may mention it, I'm also part of a new organization called the Travel Educators. And we call it Lifelong Learning Through Travel. And there's seven of us, prominent journalists from the United States and Canada. We were in Cancun. We were in the other Cancun. Most people have misconceptions about a lot of destinations, Florida being one of them. Florida is one of my favorite destinations. There are so many stories to be told there. Same thing with Cancun and the Yucatan and that part of Mexico.
Now, you're talking about the Riviera Maya.
No, actually, I'm talking about Cancun and Quintana Roo.
Okay, right.
The area just beyond Cancun, and actually in downtown Cancun, because there are 2 million sites that I had not visited, and they absolutely blow me away. And they're right there, and a lot of people don't visit them, but it is like being in Cancun in the time of the Maya, long before Cancun was developed. Now, Roy, I think I've told you this story before, but my wife and I were on our honeymoon in the Yucatan in 1972. This is before Cancun existed.
Right.
Cancun is an enormous success story in terms of a planned destination. But it's far more than most people realize it is. There are many, many Cancuns. And, of course, what you can do using Cancun as a point of departure, especially into the Maya territory.
Right. Which Mayan areas are you referring to?
When I was first in the Yucatan in 1972, I visited Chichen Itza,
right,
and Uxmal and all that sort of thing.
Right.
The area I'm talking about now, and I'm going to mention two organizations, because one is a non-governmental organization called CANCHE, K-A-N-C-H-E, and it's simply CANCHE.org. The other organization is called the Grindor, La Puerta Realde, and what these two organizations are now doing, and it's about 100 kilometers from Cancun itself.
South, you're talking.
They have combined. They have organized a whole Mayan route, with many authentic grassroots destinations. You can actually go and stay. We did. You can actually go and stay in a village. The village we stayed in was called New Durango. And you live with the people. Roy, when I was there, I got to rappel down into what's called a cenote, which is the underground cavern in this area of Quintana Roo, which was originally the ocean floor and is now limestone. And the Maya in this area are well known for their ability to adapt to the environment, and they are really role models. They are a civilization that for a long time was overlooked. It was not considered on the par with, for example, the pyramids of Egypt, that civilization. And yet, when you go, and this time I visited Koba and Tulum on the coast, which is just opposite Cozumel, these are spectacular sights. And the guides that take you through along this route, it's called the Green Door, the Puerto Real, they are all Mayan. And many of them still speak the Mayan language. As a matter of fact, Mayan language is being taught again. It is one of the most authentic travel experiences that I've had in a long time. One of the most, dare I say, spiritual experiences. And I say spiritual in the sense of this is travel for the mind. This is travel for people that really want to identify with the location, identify with the people that live there. I can't say enough about this.
Right, and when I was there last, they were still doing some digs and uncovering other areas that I thought were quite fascinating.
There is still so much to be discovered. There are so many sites. In one respect, it's a problem because you start to excavate some of these amazing sites. Where do you begin, but where do you end?
Yeah, exactly.
And it is, you know, for archaeologists and historians and amateur archaeologists and amateur historians and ethnologists and that sort of thing, it's such a multi-leveled destination. The beaches of Cancun, by the way, and I'm pleased to announce, after Hurricane Wilma, which happened the same year as Katrina, everything is up and working and wonderful and beautiful, and still Cancun itself is a great destination, and you'll be reading stories on Travelosophy about it.
Right. And the areas, as I referred to, is a lot of that area south of Cancun, as we know where all the major hotels are, they refer to as the river, or the Riviera Maya, excuse me, And I found, of course, now they've built a lot of hotels, but the beaches there are quite spectacular as well.
I haven't seen better beaches in a long, long time. And the color of the sea, the turquoise of that sea.
I know.
Roy, where do you see my pictures? They're going to blow you away.
Did you by chance get over to Isla Mujeres?
No, I didn't. But I did get to Cozumel.
Oh, you did?
There
okay.
Was just too much to do.
I know. It's so difficult when you're there. It's so little time and so much to
but
see.
But, Roy, can I tell you? I took a cooking class in Cancun at the Ritz-Carlton. And you're the guy that introduced me to margaritas. And I have learned how to make the best margarita in the world. I'm going to send you the recipe.
And you're hooked.
And that cooking class, it was kind of endless margaritas.
Sounds like my kind of class. Bob Fisher, the president of Travelosophy.com. You might want to spell it out for him.
.ca.
Oh, I'm sorry, .ca.
.ca for Canada, eh?
Eh? and now turning it into Margaritaville, as it sounds. Bob, thanks. Let's do it again soon. I look forward to seeing your photos and look forward to reading the article.
Thanks very much, Ray.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Talking Travel. This is Roy Lowy, and we're broadcasting from beautiful, sunny downtown Sarasota. And my next guest is a very well-known travel journalist, Miss Kay Fernandez. Hi, Kay. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. I'm fine. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
A pleasure. You have a new website, or I'm assuming it's a new website, and it says Welcome to Chocolate Travel.
Yes, I just developed a chocolate travel website, and we'll take travelers, armchair travelers, and the real travelers around the world in search of chocolate. We'll talk about attractions and spas, museums, chocolate festivals, factory tours, and other chocolate-themed travel.
Well, that's interesting. How did you? I mean, everybody likes, you know, everybody loves chocolate.
But I hope so.
Yeah, exactly. But how did you happen? You know, you've been in this industry a long time and written about an awful lot of places and things. How did you happen to select chocolate?
Well, I am a lifelong chocoholic myself, and I love to travel. So I thought I would combine those two passions together. And just travel around learning more about chocolate, and every day I learn more. Sometimes it's like learning about fine wines or fine cheeses, and you just put chocolate in that category.
Well, what's interesting is that, for our Florida listeners, is that one of the places that you select, it happens to be one of the first articles on your website, and it's Daytona Beach, Florida.
Yes, Angel and Phelps Chocolate Factory Tour in Daytona Beach. Angel and Phelps has been around quite some time, and they have a charming factory tour, and you have lovely ladies behind in their hair nets and doling out chocolates at the end of the factory tour, which is always nice. And it's in a charming area in historic downtown Daytona Beach.
It looks like a lovely, I'm looking at your site now, it looks like a lovely building that it's in, indeed.
Yes, it is. It's a historic building, and many of the buildings downtown are historic, so it blends right in with that.
And you say you cross the Halifax River Bridge to get to this area?
It is just before the Intercoastal Waterway, the Halifax River.
Okay.
If you're going east, of course.
Okay. And they started this in, what, 1925, I believe you said?
Angel and Phelps has been around a long time, they started doing the factory tour a while back, and it's very popular. It takes about an hour, but it's a lot of fun. And it's good for all age groups.
And very tasty, I should think.
Absolutely.
Now, the next one that you mentioned is, we're going to have to jump the pond here a little bit, and that's the Swiss Chocolate Train in Switzerland.
Yes, this is one of the chocolate-themed travel things that I've been talking about, the Swiss Chocolate Train. You ride this historic Pullman train to the town of Gruyère, Switzerland, for a cheese factory. And right after that, then you go into Brock on the Swiss Chocolate Train and go to the Nestle factory there, and you have a factory tour and a museum tour. And, of course, you get to buy chocolates.
And, of course,
chocolates along the way.
And, of course, they're famous for their cheeses as well.
Absolutely. And Switzerland is known for its milk chocolate because they use, the mountains are full of the cattle, and they use fresh milk from the cows.
Well, it's interesting because, as you, I enjoy my chocolate from time to time. And when I've traveled around the world, the Swiss always say, you talk about German, you talk about any chocolate you want, but there's nothing as good as the Swiss chocolate. And I think they're right.
Primarily because of that milk. They use that fresh milk,
and
many people don't use the fresh milk in their chocolate.
Okay, how would someone go about taking a tour like this?
On the Swiss chocolate train, you have to be a holder of the Rail Europe pass.
Right.
It can be any number of passes. They have one for Switzerland that you can combine them with different countries.
Right.
And it's considered one of the special tours if as part of your Rail Europe pass.
So would they go to, who would they go to, one of their travel agents or online to a particular site where they...
They would go to RailEurope.com.
Right, which
and,
would get them onto that, but then...
You book your rail pass before you travel to Europe.
Right, so they
and
would...
And the Swiss chocolate train actually leaves out of Montreux.
Right, and so what they would do is plan the European trip and probably plug this into it as part of their their tour. Now, I was just I'm looking at your website, and do you have links to some of these on there? I'm coming to it now. Yeah.
When you go to the article itself, at the end of the article, it gives you facts that will help you in your travels and links, for example, to Rail Europe or.
The Golden Pass. Yeah, I see that now.
And for Angel and Phelps, for example, there's a link to the Daytona Beach Convention and Visitors Bureau.
All right. Now, let me just ask this question. You're going to, as I understand it, each week at It's chocolate-travel.com, that each week you're going to have another article or another destination for people to ponder on. Is that correct?
Yes, I'll be adding an article every week. Upcoming will be the Chocolate Spa in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Right.
And I'll be talking about Cadbury World in Bourneville, England.
Right.
And those are the ones coming up next.
Now, as knowing you as I do, I would say that there will be nothing on this site of any chocolate that you have not sampled. So you have covered. You've been to all these destinations. Done all of this.
I have more on my agenda to travel, and so I can best inform my readers on this chocolate travel website.
Now, how long have you had this up? I mean, this is somewhat new to me.
I've been collecting material on chocolate and travel for quite some time.
Right.
At one point, I had hoped to write a book about it, but it just seemed like that the web was a little bit better fit for these kinds of articles.
Yeah, and as I remember,
so many people go to the web now.
Right.
As you well know, with talking travel, the right. web stories. To learn more about places and where they would like to travel to next.
It seems to me when we were on the Solstice, on the ship, there was a fair amount of chocolate going around there. to my memory, they even had a chocolate bar, I mean, an area where you could just get just chocolate items and... That was quite of an interesting experience. So tell us, can you give us some other ideas of what you might be doing with the site and with the plans for the trips?
Upcoming stories or?
Well, yeah, I mean, do you have destination plans for the moment of somewhere you're going to cover this or? You know, I know you've been to many of the places that you wrote
right.
about, but...
I just returned from Hershey.
Okay, you were at Hershey, yeah.
And I'll be writing three different stories on that because it absolutely is a world of chocolate. And the first story will be on the chocolate spa, and I'll be talking about Chocolate World in Hershey.
Right.
And there is a brand-new chocolate story museum that just opened in January, and I'll be writing a separate article on that so people can get a really good grasp of what it's like to be in Hershey.
Now, let's talk about chocolate for the moment. There's lots of different types of chocolate. You have dark chocolate. You have white chocolate. I mean, are the ingredients basically the same? I mean, how do you get white chocolate when you always see it, when chocolate we see is always... a darker color?
White chocolate is really not chocolate. It basically is the cocoa butter fat that is extracted from the cocoa bean, so there's really no chocolate in white chocolate.
Well, that's interesting, because I think most people, they market it as chocolate, don't
right,
they?
Right, right. But, I mean, it comes from the cocoa bean, but it's the cocoa fat, and it's sweeter, which a lot of people like. That white chocolate sweet taste.
And then what do you call the regular chocolate? Because there's that other chocolate that I can remember when it tasted bitter.
Oh, yes, the cooking chocolate. Sometimes it's very bitter.
And the difference, I guess, between that and the chocolate that we're familiar with, of course, that was a darker color, as I remember, rather than the lighter colored chocolate.
Right, the bittersweet chocolate is very dark, and the darker the chocolate, the higher percentage of cocoa is in it.
And probably less sugar.
Absolutely. In fact, there's traces of sugar the higher up you get, when you get into 70% or 75% chocolate bars.
What's your favorite?
I'm sorry?
What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite?
I do. I like the Valrhona chocolate from France.
The average chocolate bar that we see in our stores, in the specialized chocolate, I don't mean just the chocolate bars, but the imported chocolates, what ones would you recommend? I mean, what ones do you like the best out of the ones that they sell locally?
Well, Valrhona is imported into the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it in specialty stores. Sometimes in other stores you can find Lindt chocolate from Switzerland, which is can be the darker chocolate. There are several different brands. I don't know whether I should be talking about different brands. Someone might get on me.
Okay.
We'll
stay away from brands.
Usually, quite a few in the United States have more sugar in them, and we're used to the sugar.
Yeah, we sure are that. Our conversation has been with Kay Fernandez, a travel journalist, and her website is chocolate-travel.com. Kay, it's always a pleasure, and I look forward to your weekly article so I can torture myself a little bit. And
thank you very much, and I appreciate your time talking with me.
It's always a pleasure. Bye for now.
Thank you.
You're listening to Talking Travel, and this is Roy Lowy, and we're broadcasting from sunny Sarasota. My next guest is Brian Moore, Mr. Ireland himself. He is with CIE Tours International. Welcome to Talking Travel, Brian.
Hey, good morning, Roy. I hear you describing sunny Sarasota. And here I am today up in western Connecticut, and it's cold,
but it's,
and it's gray, and it's dreary. So I envy you guys down there.
Well, you get down there from time to time, so you get
to... I spend quite a bit of time there, thank God.
Now, everything that I've been following, great deals for Ireland there, and also some great deals for Europe in general. Tell us a little bit about it, if you will.
Yeah, in fact, just today I heard even better offers just arriving on the scene. CIE Tours, as you know, is a specialist in Ireland and has been for 77 years.
Yeah, you must have been very young when you started there.
Oh, I was still in diapers. As we used to call them in Ireland, nappies.
Nappies, yeah, exactly. Or a gleam in the mother's eye.
Yeah. But we have a series of, you know, we're an all-inclusive tour operator. We include everything in our tours. People aren't surprised when they get there to find out they have to pay extra money for this or extra money for that. And we include all the breakfasts, and we include 99% of the dinner. So it's as all-inclusive as you can get with a coach tour. And we have special offers through our good friends at AAA South, and particularly the offices in the Sarasota region, that are good till the end of March with a savings of up to $250 per couple. And then this morning, Roy, wait till I tell you what I heard. There were airfares out there for May onwards on the new flights from Orlando to Dublin with Aer Lingus, the Irish national carrier, and they were $700 and $800. Well, this morning, lo and behold, we discovered that these fares are now being reduced down to the mid-400s.
Good Lord.
Oh, it's great. I mean, it's a wonderful time to go to Ireland. It's not going to be too busy. The weather over there is just very nice. It's, you know, we're a mild temperate climate. You've been there yourself. And in fact, we jokingly say on the 1st of January this year, it was 80 degrees.
How about that?
Yeah, 40 in the morning and 40 in the afternoon.
Only an Irishman would come up with something like that. But, you know, the interesting thing is that I've seen some. Can you hear me okay? I've seen some fairs advertising.
I'm afraid I'm losing you.
Okay. Can you hear me now? It might be the cell phone. You're on your cell, aren't you? Can you hear me, Brian? Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you, yeah.
Okay. Sounds like a Verizon commercial.
Yeah, can you hear me now? Yeah,
can you hear me now? Anyway, out of Kennedy, for example, I've been following fares on Aer Lingus and BA and some of the others, where the fares were lower than the taxes.
Oh, I know. I mean, British Airways are very funny. They have a fare of 340, and I think the taxes are 360.
Exactly. So it is a good time for, you know, for all you listeners out there, this is a great opportunity. It's a great time to visit Europe. And needless to say, we would certainly suggest that Ireland be your first choice because we love Ireland and CIE has some of the greatest tours. Brian brought up a very interesting point, and that was that there are no options on this. Everything is included. Once you make your decision, you buy your package, and it's done. You know, it's not. You get there, and then this thing costs 70, and this is 150, and this is 200. It's included. Am I correct, Brian? Are you still there, Brian?
Yeah, I'm still here. It's fading in and out, I'm afraid.
Well, that's what happens with cell phones, unfortunately. But what I was just saying, I don't know if you heard it, but I was telling our audience that with your packages, as you mentioned, there aren't these options. It's all included. It's not 150 for this and 90 for that.
That's right.
So
that's right. And it's a great way. And the other thing, of course, is once you've paid a deposit, then your dollar exchange rate is locked in. There's no variations on the dollars, so once you pay your price, you pay your price.
Now, the packages that I'm looking at on your website, they're exclusive of air. Do you ever include air, or basically you're a ground operator per se?
Oh no, we through our friends at AAA and other travel agencies, we have them do the air for the client.
Right.
And the fact that we don't print them in the brochure is because of the fact that they change on a daily basis. So it really makes no sense to print an airfare in a brochure in this day and age.
Right, exactly. Now, I also...
Particularly with that example I gave today.
Right. I also see that you have Scotland, England, Italy, and Eastern Europe in your programs.
We sure do. We have combinations of England, Ireland, England, Scotland, Scotland, Ireland. Then we even have an Italy and Ireland combination.
Well, that's an interesting combo. And I see on the Italy one, you can save up to $400 per couple.
That's correct. And if they're a member of AAA, they can save themselves another $50 on top of that.
And I'm looking at Eastern Europe here. It says save up to $800 per couple.
Yeah, and you'd have to go onto the website to find those, but there are special offers for Eastern Europe as well. Yeah.
Right.
So really, Roy, it's a great year to travel. It really is.
It is indeed. Is there? Tell us a little bit about Brian Moore's Ireland.
Well, my old company that I sold in 1998 was bought by a group in Miami called Far and Wide.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, 4 years after buying my company and 14 other very strong companies that did all different parts of the world, Far and Wide went totally into liquidation. So my company was sold on, and it's currently owned by some company in Britain, but it's a different company to what I had. It's more a down-market product now,
right,
with lesser hotels, I gather, and a lot of optionals. So not something that I would have been concerned with selling in my good old days. But I had 37 good years with it. I've no regrets, and having come out of retirement to be with CIE is just great.
Well, CIE is a well-known, reliable operator, and has been for years, as you say, 70 years, and that's a long time to be in business and still be respected in the business.
Yeah, and you know that, in fact, I'm not quite sure of the figure, but something like 62% of our business comes to us due to referrals from past traveled passengers.
Yeah, well, that certainly says something, doesn't it?
So I think that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, when one looks at Ireland, there's so many choices.
I'm losing you again now, Roy. Well,
that's okay. Can you hear me now?
It's frustrating. I apologize.
Can you hear me yet, Brian? Well, let's just, I think we've lost Brian. We're on the, did I hear you come back in, Brian? Or?
I can hear you very, very far,
very weak.
Distant.
Well, let's just wrap up.
Roy, I can't really hear you, but I'd love to say thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure talking to you again. It's years since we've seen each other. God bless and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Well, same to you, and we look forward to meeting you soon.
Thank you,
Roy. Thank you, Brian. Bye for now.
So you want to stop smoking? Well, here's what I want you to do. Go to a drugstore and take a stop smoking product off the shelf. Go to the cashier. Tell him you don't want to pay for the product. You just want to take it home and try it. And if, and only if, you stop smoking, will you then come back and pay for it? Most likely, if you tried this, you'd be arrested. But as silly as this sounds, this is exactly what the Smoke-Free free trial offer is. Smoke-Free is a complete all-natural stop smoking system. And when you call today, they will send you a 30-day supply of the program absolutely free. This program eliminates withdrawals, cravings, and includes a 30-day supply of the Smoke-Free capsules, a guide to living smoke-free book, an audio support program, a capsule holder, and a bottle of weight loss capsules, just in case you are worried about gaining weight while you're trying to quit. To find out if you qualify for this free trial offer, join the tens of thousands who have quit for life with Smoke-Free.
Call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. This is a limited-time offer. Call 1-800-210-0311 now.
You're listening to Talking Travel. This is Roy Lowy, and we're broadcasting from beautiful, sunny downtown Sarasota. And my next guest,
Lisa Codiane Fowler, and she's going to chat with us about 40 Shades of Green, and green, to me, is Ireland. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you, Roy.
Now, 40 Shades of Green, how did you come up with that?
I came up with that. Actually, I didn't, but Johnny Cash did. When flying over Southwest Ireland, he was so taken by the green mountains. They look like patchwork quilts. And he wrote a song called 40 Shades of Green. The mountains are delineated with shrubbery so that you know who owns which piece of land. And from a distance, really does look like a quilt of green.
Yeah, well, Ireland and of course, the four-leaf clovers. That's why we wear them on St. Paddy's Day, which is not too far off, is it?
No.
March 17th.
Right.
What areas did you go to on this particular trip?
Well, we went to counties Cork and Kerry in southwest Ireland. It was just beautiful and totally unexpected. My husband Patrick and I, Patrick a good man himself.
And a good Irish man.
we both expected it to be cold and rocky. That was what we imagined, but we knew nothing about this part of the country.
In August, I'm surprised, because August can get a little chilly, can it?
Well, it happened to be beautiful. It was mostly sunny in the 60s, sometimes even in the low 70s.
Great, great.
Now, part of the reason for that is that the Gulf Stream, which starts here in southwest Florida, ends in southwest Ireland. So it brings temperate breezes and warm waters that cause the flora and fauna to just flourish. There are hibiscus trees, there are plants and bushes, there are palm trees everywhere. Beautiful tropical foliage in contrast with those gorgeous, majestic mountains.
Now, did you drive around?
We drove. And
that's an experience unto itself. I've been there.
It's frightening, but it's also exhilarating. If you know, it's just that you drive on the left side, right? Left side of the road, and the steering wheel is on the right side of the car. And the mountain roads are so narrow and winding, and you look down out of the car window, and I don't know how many hundreds of feet you're looking down. And there are signs on the road that simply state, "Think."
State what?
Think.
Oh, okay.
Think. Concentrate. Because there are so many near misses. It's very, very scary. But again, it's fun, and the scenery is amazing.
And it said think leprechaun crossing, right?
Well, that was another sign. Leprechaun crossing,
okay.
You'll come across. And also, keep Ireland tidy. They have the towns in this part of the country vie for gold, silver, and bronze awards for the tidiest town. So all of the towns look like they were created for tourists, but they're really not. They're just naturally beautiful and picturesque.
Yeah, Ireland is lovely. In fact, yeah, I drove one time. We looked at a map and we wanted to get from point A to point B, and we saw it was 90 miles, and we thought, well, like, we can do that in an hour and a half. And of course, when we, as you know, when you get on those narrow roads, and this was a while back, and the roads probably weren't as good as they were when you were there. And then we were running low on gas because we hadn't estimated the amount of time we'd be driving. And I pulled into a petrol station, and I handed the fellow my credit card, and he looked at it and he says, "Oh, be Jesus, look at the colors we have. How lovely, how lovely. But what would you have me be doing with it?" At this point, he didn't even take credit cards. So, we had to kind of dig down and come up with enough money to get us to a point that did. So I can understand the driving part. So now, where were you driving from and to?
Well, we started out in, we flew into Shannon Airport, and then we drove about, I guess it was about 3 hours south to
Cork.
Yeah. And while we were there, we stayed at Casey's Hotel, a wonderful place. It actually feels like you're at Grandma's house.
Now, Casey's is a bed and breakfast?
It's a hotel. It has a full restaurant and serves three meals a day.
Oh, how nice.
They have a pub, which we spent many, many hours at in the wee hours of the morning.
Ah.
People just gather there and sing and tell jokes. We did that, till 4 in the morning almost every night. I don't even know how we survived the trip.
Well, there's an old saying in Ireland, when you go into some of these pubs, you either tell a story, do a dance, or sing a song. And usually somebody can come up with one of out of three anyway.
We had all of that going on. And what was amazing to me, before we left, my husband said, I don't really want to spend all of our time in pubs. But as it turns out, the pub in Ireland is the center of family life, political and community life. You know, it's a forum for great discussions and for people to get together. And children, there are more children in Ireland to begin than adults in Ireland, because the Irish families are so large, and they're everywhere, and they're in the pubs, and the jokes are fun, and they're family-oriented. It's a beautiful culture. People are warm and friendly.
Now, when you flew into Shannon, and then you were driving to Cork, did you make some stops along the way, or can you kind of walk us along the winding road?
Yeah, we met up with our friends Tom and Vicky McPhail. And they live in Jupiter, but we only seem to see them in Ireland for some reason. And they took us to Killarney National Park, which was just beautiful. And we saw our first castle, a 15th century castle, Ross Castle, the Muckross House, which the only way I can describe it really is it's sort of a combination of Selby Gardens and the Cadazan at the Ringling Museum here in Sarasota.
Oh, lovely.
Only grander and hundreds of years older.
Now, how long did you stay in Shannon? I'm backing up here, but were you there overnight? Did you get to go over to Bunratty Castle?
We did on our last day. Once we arrived at Shannon, we got in our car and headed south to meet with our friends and get on to our destination. But the night before we were to fly out,
I think then you stayed at the Drummondland Castle.
Yes.
Right, okay. Bunratty Castle is actually in Shannon, and the only reason I mention it is they have some beautiful music and great entertainment. But Drummondland, they actually have three castles, and they're absolutely wonderful resorts. And I'm so glad you got to stay there, at least the last night.
Would you pronounce that Bunratty Castle? Is that what it is?
Yeah, Bunratty Castle is in Shannon.
We did see that.
You did? Okay, so you saw the show there.
We didn't see the show, but we did visit.
Yeah, okay, good. Good, good, good. So you got to Cork. Did you get to kiss the Blarney Stone?
We did not, but we'll probably do that this next trip.
Well, I mean, that's the only way they make their money. They hang everybody by their ankles and all their money falls out of their pockets, and I guess it goes down into the bottom, and somebody goes down there and sweeps it all up at the end of the day. But you did have a little a taste of some Irish whiskey while you were there.
Oh, Irish coffee is served everywhere, even on holy grounds. It's amazing. A license is not required. A liquor license is not required to serve Irish coffee. So it's served everywhere. The food there is amazing. They've had a culinary awakening in recent years. So besides traditional Irish food, there are many venues for gourmet meals, haute cuisine like you wouldn't believe, from duckling to salmon. But since the chefs guard their Irish heritage, you can still find that traditional beef and Guinness pie.
Oh, I love – you know, they used to call – they used to be able to get beef and kidney pie, or they used to call it steak and kidney pie. Now, you can get it over there, but I try to get it into some of the places here, and that it's – you know, it's absolutely absolutely impossible. Here they call it just steak pie or something like that, but or steak and mushroom pie.
Well, you need to go to Ireland.
I know. I'm ready. Let's get our bags packed, Lisa, and head on out. Now, just before we run out of time here, let me know, what was the highlight of this whole trip, would you say?
The highlight was actually a life highlight, not just a highlight of this trip.
A lifetime experience, in other words.
Yes. Huh? Driving the Ring of Barra, which is a road that that loops around the Barra Peninsula, the views are stunning. They change from that tropical vista that I described to you to you do find some rocky mountains, the bays, the waterways, the wildlife. It's just incredible. We ended up pausing at Jersey Island and watched fishing boats sail by and waves crashing against the rocks. It was truly something that I'll never forget.
Well, you know, the Jersey Islands belong to the UK now, but at one point they were part of Ireland, which is kind of interesting. But they're a beautiful set of islands. I'd like to I'm sorry. You didn't say Jersey. You said Jersey Island. Okay, I got it. Where did you go from there? You just came straight on back, or
we came back to Casey's and watched some football.
Right.
The pub was packed with children. It was great. We'd had that beef and Guinness pie. Then we headed off, like I said, back toward Shannon Airport. Stayed at the castle. One thing that was really ironic is after we went into the pub at the castle, beautiful place, similar to the bar at the Sarasota Ritz-Carlton with leather couches. And there were only three other couples in there. It turns out one was from Clearwater, one was from Bradenton, and one was from Sarasota.
Well, you can't get away from it. You could travel all the way to Ireland and everybody else is from your neighborhood.
Well, we all discovered and enjoyed that pot of gold at the end of the Gulf Stream.
Now, is there anybody you'd like to give any particular credit to from this trip? Of course, you mentioned the you mentioned the castles, and you also mentioned the bed and breakfast place.
Casey's Hotel.
Casey's.
I so recommend that. It's not just a place to stay. It's like being you become part of the family. Donald, D-O-N-E-L,
uh-huh.
Donald Deasy owns it. His great-grandmother started it in the 1800s, and it's been in the family ever since.
Well, that's great, Lisa. It's really been a pleasure having you on the show. Our guest has been Lisa Fowler. She's a travel journalist, and I think you're going to be hearing a lot more from Lisa. In fact, I hear, Lisa, that you're putting together a website.
I am. I'm very excited about it. It should be up pretty soon.
Well, that's great. And for all you savvy travelers that are listening, you may want to tune in on Sundays from 3 p.m. till 9 for WTMY's all-new Sunday Travel Radio. From 3 to 5, Pierre Wolf will host America's Travel and Dining Guide. Then from 5 to 6, yours truly, Roy Lowy, will host Talking Travel. Then 6 to 9, Travel with Stephanie Abrams. We'll offer you a six-hour mix of everything that relates to travel, from travel journalists reporting from around the world, what's hot, what's not, single travel, single parents with kids, the best online travel sites. Our consumer advocates will even be on the job to resolve issues that you may have, and we'll cover it right here on WTMY. So if you want the latest travel info, we'll be here from 3 to 9 on Sundays, and hope you will join us right here on WTMY 1280. You're listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy, and I'm your travel guy.